In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, let us explore the meaning of this parable that we've received from the Lord today. The basic meaning is clear. It's an extended example of what our Lord has told us elsewhere. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. But the parable is deeper than this. It's more challenging than this. To see this, we have to see and find our place in this parable. The king in the parable represents God. The first servant spoken of represents each one of us. And the second servant represents our fellow men who owe us something or who have offended us in some way. So what is this huge sum that the first servant owes to the king? It's the debt that we owe to God. So what is this debt? Well, let us consider. He created us out of nothing. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He gives us every good thing on the earth. And he didn't just make us like the animals to enjoy the earth. He made us using himself as the pattern for our creation. He gave us the capacity to become like him in every way. Creative, good, loving, a prophet, a king, a priest on the earth. This is already an unpayable debt. But he doesn't ask that this debt be repaid. He merely asks that we make use of it, that we take what he has given us, that we multiply this gift and offer the fruits back to him in thanksgiving. And so what do? Naturally, we reject him. We reject his love. We reject his gift. We reject his call to holiness, wanting instead to do things our way, our own way. I said naturally sarcastic. It doesn't make sense, yet that's what we do. And as a result, cutting off from him, we find ourselves without his power, without his strength, without his life. We find ourselves slaves, slaves of sin, slaves of the curse, slaves of death, slaves even of the devil. So what does God do? As St. Paul tells us, God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God did not demand that we repay our debt. He did not wait for us to say, I'm sorry. He didn't even expect us to ask for his forgiveness. No, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. This, then, is how we must understand the king's forgiveness of the first servant in the parable and God's forgiveness of us. So what does that mean for us? The parable teaches that as the king forgave that first servant, he expected that first servant to take that example and forgive his fellow servant. As God forgives us, he expects us to take that example of how we should forgive one another. In that same way, every one of you knows somebody who has offended you, somebody who's caused you harm, somebody who owes you something small or great, maybe very great, but not compared to what we owe God. Maybe this person has come and asked you for forgiveness. Maybe they've even tried to make amends in a way that seems large to them but small to you. Like the servant in the parable who said, have patience with me and I will pay you all. But we just can't find it in our hearts to be reconciled. We can't forgive. No matter how hard they try, we just don't feel it. Woe to us if we can't forgive. But again, it's deeper than this. Because if we are to forgive as the parable demands, as God's example demands, we need to be ready to forgive without being asked. We need to be ready to forgive someone who doesn't try to make amends, who doesn't say sorry, who doesn't ask forgiveness. We need to forgive those who remain our enemies. Our Lord says elsewhere, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Now a caveat. We don't and shouldn't let people hurt us again. We should protect ourselves, defend ourselves, take whatever steps to keep ourselves safe. But we cannot hold a grudge. We cannot hate. We must forgive in our hearts, and we must return good for evil. I'll give you several examples from extreme examples, you might say, from the lives of the saints. That's why they're saints. Saint Macarius. There are more stories of St. Macarius than almost anybody else. He was living in the desert in a little cell, and a thief came while he was away and started taking everything out of his cell and loading it onto a camel. St. Macarius came, saw him, started helping him. And the camel wouldn't move. It wouldn't budge at the end. So Macari said, oh, you must have forgotten something. He went inside, found a shovel, put it on the camel, and the camel went a little farther. Camel still stopped. Ultimately, he got his stuff back because God was watching out for him. Another story of Macarius. Macarius was, as I said, living in the desert in this cell, and he was near a large city. I think it was Alexandria. I'm not sure. And there was a girl in this city who got in trouble, got pregnant, and they were asking her, who did it? Who's the father? And rather than giving up the father, she said, oh, it's that anchorite in the desert. And so they came and found him, and they started beating him and making a public spectacle of him. And when the child, they told him, you're going to have to care for this child. So he went and he was getting ready to make more baskets to sell so he'd have more money to care for and basically pay child support. Now, he didn't let this girl hurt him. He didn't let her change his way of life in any way. But he took on himself that added difficulty of just working harder and forgiving her and returning good for her evil. In the end, as before, God kind of made things right. She actually couldn't give birth until she confessed who really did it, and he was let off. Another example from the teachings of St. Paisius of the Holy Mountain. Several examples of people who came to him and said, I have this person in my family who is just hateful toward me, it's just not a good situation, and they say hateful things, and we don't have pleasant interactions. And St. Paisius said, okay, we'll go, and what I want you to do is just be kind to them and pray for them. And, okay, I guess I'll try. And the person comes back a year later and says it works. The relationships got better. Somehow they started, you know, being kinder, being gentler. And so that's an example of how to do this. So we're called then to forgive everybody, even those who don't ask forgiveness, even those who remain having animosity. That can be extremely difficult. It's extremely difficult to forgive those people who have asked forgiveness sometimes. So what do? We take baby steps. If you can't forgive, then at least don't seek revenge. And most importantly, pray. Pray for them without fail. And as a great reminder of why we can do this, why we must do this, this parable reminds us that the reason we forgive is because we ourselves are debtors to God for so, so much more. And he has forgiven us, even though we've done basically nothing in return. May God help us to, over time, acquire the gift of the ability to forgive. Amen.